Yeah, well, I hope you've been enjoying the Olympics and the weather. How many of you, just a little survey here, how many of you have air conditioning in your homes? Okay, how many of you have air conditioning in your cars? Do you want to guess who doesn't have air conditioning in his car or his home? That's why I've had this little bucket of joy here today. Well, we've been enjoying this series, and what we're going to do is a bit of preparation as we come to communion today. Before we get into the message, I want to talk about what's going to be happening with services. I was going last week to our Issaquah campus, and as I was going there, the person who was driving with me said, you know this road is going to close, and they're going to close the road that I normally use to drive to Issaquah. And so that's going to create a bit of an issue. There's no access roads, and it's going to make it a little bit longer, about 7 minutes each way, which I could make if there are no slow drivers and if I never have to go to the bathroom. The problem is I drink a lot of coffee and I'm over 40, so that's not going to happen. So really, what we're going to be doing is modifying some of the other service times to continue a live service there, and we're going to probably be moving our first service here a little bit later. For you at the 11:15, it'll be no change at all, but there will be an option a little bit earlier, but not as quite as early as our other one if you want to check that out. We'll be laying out that information in a couple weeks. The road is supposed to close in 2 weeks, but obviously there can be delays with the county, so we don't want to jump ahead of that. So if you normally go to Timberlake Issaquah or the earlier service, you just want to pay attention. Worst case scenario is you might actually show up early to church and hear the music, and that would be awesome. So let's get right into it, and as we look at soul food, we're going to do a spiritual checkup as we go to the communion table. If you're new to Christianity, or maybe it's been a while, communion, when we go to communion, it says we're supposed to prepare our hearts. And that's what we're going to do today. Here's the difficulty when it comes to our spiritual life, is we can get distracted. That we know there is God is there, he is eternal and all-powerful, but we have this invisible God, and we have these visible distractions in our life, don't we? We have issues at work and finances and kids and traffic and all of that. And it can be hard to find what God wants to do in our life. It can be like that old Where's Waldo? I'm going to date some of you. Any of you remember that from the 80s, Where's Waldo? Yeah, they had these picture books. You can't get a CD, listen to them on CD. And they'd show a picture like this. And then you have to find this guy who's wearing blue jeans and a striped shirt and a hat that matches. So there's Waldo there. And then so you go through these pictures, and this one is actually relatively easy to find. There's Waldo there. And then another one we can check at that. And it's like, by the way, if you want to keep your kids busy all day, you know, you can do this. Where's Waldo there? And then so there's another one that's right there. This one's a little easier to find. I've been working out a little bit, just thought I'd show off. Praise God for Photoshop. Anyway, so let's get right into Psalm 15. I'm going to look at that specifically. There will be some issues with that. Normally, I'll speak on a topic throughout the scriptures, use a bunch of verses. I'm going to really keep it to Psalm 15 for the most part this morning. It says this, David speaking, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy mountain? Now, this is before Jesus Christ came and offered grace to us. So really, these people are under law, and there's not a lot of hope for them, but there is a high standard. But one that we can look to and emulate in many ways as we also understand our need for God's grace. Says, those whose walk is blameless, who do what is righteous, who speak the truth from their hearts, who have no slander on their tongues, who do their neighbors no wrong, who cast no slur on others, who despise those who are vile, but honor whoever fears the Lord, who keeps their oaths even when it hurts, who lend money to the poor without interest, and do not accept bribes against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. And if you read that, it will remind you a little bit of the Sermon on the Mount, if you've read that part of the Bible. Jesus basically says, do these things. You've heard it said, but I say to you, in fact, we did a series on that about 6 months ago. And in the end, he says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And you're like, okay, this seems a little bit overwhelming, Jesus. I can't really get that. Any of you pretty much achieve that you're completely perfect? Yeah, just me. Okay, no, really none of us really have achieved that in our life. And so what's going on there? Well, Jesus, when he went to the cross, he said, it is finished. And so he's finished that work that we cannot finish on our own. And it really gets to this whole idea of what God does in our life when he transforms us into his image. This psalm is telling us what God wants to produce in our lives, and also to help us know that we need to find a savior as well. It really comes to this, it's an evaluation point. The simple truth is this, to get to where you're going, we need to know where we are. We need to know where we're at. We use this again and again here, and I continue this theme because I think it's helpful. We talk about our red dot moment as we evaluate our lives spiritually, financially, and relationally. And when you go to the mall, you'll see something like this, and it's you are here. By the way, how many of you, just be loud and proud, how many of you are like, you like the mall? You'll admit it. In front of people, okay, a few of you. How many of you are like me, and for you, the mall is just a symbol of what hell would be like? That's me there. So it doesn't matter if you're what end of the spectrum you're on. When you're there, you want to find someplace, you got to know where you're at. You go up to that little kiosk, and it says, you are here. There'll be stores. You say, okay, I'm here, and I want to get to Starbucks, because Starbucks is great. In the Greek, it means where God dwells. It actually doesn't. I just made that up. But so we want to find, what's my path to where I want to go? And that's what really this psalm is about. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is about as well. It's about that path that God would call us to. It really deals with this issue, this concept we find in the Bible that sometimes can be a little off-putting for many of us. Holiness. And we'll say, well, holiness, we look at that and we hear that word and we feel judged. We feel like we don't measure up. We feel like it wouldn't be very fun. And what we're missing is God's heart in this. God says, I have a path and a plan for you, and it is good. And following that means that you would follow my ways. And you don't need to do it on your own. I'll give you my Holy Spirit to give you strength along the way. And that's really what it is. Another sort of 50-cent theological word is sanctification. It's that process in which God makes us more like him. That's really what we're looking at this morning, and it should lead us to the cross of Jesus Christ. See, we're not against evaluation in other areas of our life. If you go to the doctor, you get a physical. What are they doing? They're evaluating your health. If you, at work, you get a review, maybe a 360 review, people superior to you, people who work for you. We get these reviews, and it's so that we get better. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. See, we see that grace and obedience are really inseparable. Well, what does it mean to live that way? And I call this smart living because that's what David really leads us to. And four good questions. Four good questions that we can ask that are based in the psalm. The first one is, are my words helpful or hurtful? David describes a person who honors God as the one who speaks the truth from their heart, who have no slander on their tongues, and do their neighbors no wrong, who cast no slur on others. Now, if you're new to church and the Bible, it's really important when you read the older part of the Bible, the Old Testament, written by people in a Jewish culture to understand that, one, they use a lot of hyperbole. It's sort of humor through exaggeration. We see Jesus doing that. And also, wherever there's a negative command, there would be the positive corollary. In fact, the rabbis would do this sometimes to a fault. They'd take the negative command and they'd say, well, this is the way we're to live it out. And there'd be 529 laws around it, which was supposed to be helpful, but ended up sort of being a bummer for people. And so as you get that, do not slander, what is the opposite of that? To speak words that are good and life-giving. Every one of us. You can probably remember someone who encouraged you along the way, someone who encouraged you in your faith. I remember when I was talking with my wife, and we were talking about coming here, and she said, we had a great life in San Diego, and, you know, the weather is like this every day. And she said, you know, I believe this is good in God, and I trust you in that. When it was my pastor growing up, Vernon Elgin, right after I became a Christian, he said, I think God could use you. When it was one of my professors at the University of Washington, saying, of all the kids at the university, I've never met anyone as intelligent as you are, Ben. And I was hopeful that would have happened. Those words are the words of life. Who is God assigning you to speak the words of life to? By the way, I can tell you, it's not a mystery. If you're married, it is your spouse. It is. But I know many people are committed to this. I meet with a lot of you. Is if I just nag them enough. And you're saying, you know, it hasn't worked for the last 10 years, but I'll try it for another 40 and see how it'll turn out. It'll turn out about the same way it's turning out right now. Primarily people change through encouragement. Is there time for a negative? Absolutely. Look at what Jesus he talks about the religious leaders. As Jesus taught, Jesus said, watch out for the teachers of the law, those who like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses for a show, make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely. And he goes on and calls them vipers and dogs and worthy of hell. Not really encouraging, right? There is a time to say enough is enough. So I'm not saying that. That just should not be your MO. That should not be where we lead from naturally. I was with someone just a couple days ago. Very obvious that they were struggling with drugs. It was pretty obvious. And I didn't just say, well, how you doing today? Everything's cheery. Praise the Lord. You know, no, it's like, hey, there's a problem there. You know, I didn't say, hey, you know, oh, so you like drugs. Well, pray for a good deal. You know, there's a time to say, you are ruining your life. And if you don't care about that, then at least care about your children. There's time for harsh words. There really is. There's time for boundaries that are strong and things that you don't even know how they're going to react, but it doesn't matter. There is a time for that. Questions to ask yourself when you're there. And maybe someone's just like saying something about someone else. I always ask, is it true and am I sure? And what I'm saying, is it motivated by hurt, me getting back, a need to look important? Will this make things better or worse? See, the words of life can take many different forms. We just need to be sensitive to how God would lead us in that. Are my words helpful or hurtful? That is a heart check. Because it says, out of the overflow, and this is in the Bible, but it's not in your outline, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so really what it is it's a thermometer. It tells you the temperature of how things are going on the inside. Another good question to ask is, who are my heroes? Who are my heroes? Now, again, this is put in the negative. The one who honors God is the one who despises those whose ways are vile. but honor whoever fears the Lord. Now, we'll look at this in the positive sense in terms of a mentor. I've talked about this. Mentors are really important. I'm not talking about a formalized agreement. Maybe that's it. For most of us, it won't be that way. But is there someone you're learning from? Here's a question, and guys in particular. Men, is there another man, not just me, on Sunday mornings? I know that is, you know, you feel like that's all the spiritual knowledge you'll ever need. But is there another person who's following Jesus Christ who you're learning from? If not, just pray. Just say, hey, God. And then they may not be, you know, they're not going to be perfect in every way. No one is. But we all need that. Who are our heroes? Is it just someone who's successful in business? By the way, nothing wrong with being a success. You've heard me say before, if you apply biblical principles, you should be probably pretty successful in your workplace. If you work hard, if you're honest, if you're intelligent, if you care about people, you'll probably do well, probably get promoted, probably do okay in lots of ways. But are you looking to people who also honor God while they do it? See, that is important. By the way, with kids, man, this is super important. Who are their heroes? I'm not talking about being one of those overprotective parents that say, you know, you can only be around this little cloistered group of people. If you do that, by the way, watch out when they turn 18. There's going to be a party, and it's not going to be pretty. You need to help your children navigate life while they're still in your household. Yet, there are times when maybe you say, you know what? This has gone from, you know, just sort of normal life to they want to be like that person. That person's nothing like God. And so, you know, we put a little boundary in place there, and there's nothing wrong with that. The question for ourselves is, who do I look up to, to try to impress or emulate? Really significant. And another question is this, do I keep my commitments? Do I keep my commitments? Oftentimes we're like, of course I keep my commitments. Look at what it says, though. Who keep their oaths even when it hurts. Pretty simple principle, and you know this is true, is that we all want to keep our commitments in the big stuff. I mean, no one's here and saying, yeah, I just want to be a person who has no integrity. But it's a habit like anything else. But by the way, you know this too. What is... when it comes to spiritual life, it's a habit. A lot of times it's just, you know, getting back in the habit of going to church and reading the Bible and all of that. We get in the habit of saying yes to God. And if we don't do it in the small stuff, we won't do it in the difficult or the painful things for sure. We'll always find a way out. Relationally, I hear this all the time. Well, my heart has led me in a different direction. And I get that. I get how you can... You know, see, here's the deal. Oftentimes people, when they sort of stray away, it often happens in the workplace. And what will happen is they're there and they're looking good and the other person's looking good and they're showered and they're rested and all of that. And you're saying, wow, this person's, you know, really got it going on. It's way better than what's happening at home. But that's because you don't see them the next morning where they have bad breath, bedhead. Probably diarrhea. I just thought I'd put that. If you're on the verge of an affair, I just want you to think diarrhea. Diarrhea, diarrhea, diarrhea. So I have no idea. This is the last service. You know that, right? So... I get tired. I do. I really do. So because here's the deal. My heart, man, my heart. Do you know, you'd say, well, your wife, Terry, you know, is she your first love? She really isn't. No, she wasn't. No. Because I'll tell you, there's so, when I saw Cindy Brady on the TV, I'm like, she is for me. And she's, look at those little curls. She's a hottie. That's what my heart told me. And then my heart told me, no, Wonder Woman. You know? Look at her. She's looking pretty good. It's not like I was into older women. I never had a crush on Janet Reno or anything like that. So the it was so it was just, that's what my heart. See, I've learned that my heart can deceive me at times. And so I always want to check that against what God says in his word. And see, here's the thing, is we're always looking for loopholes. By the way, sometimes there is a loophole. But do we always lead with a loophole? Probably one of the greatest hurts I've ever had in my life was with a friendship with someone who is all about the loophole. And you've been hurt by that too. So do I keep my commitments? Well, what about your commitments to God? So you make a commitment to God and you say, Lord, you're the owner of my life. And that really means he's the owner of my life. And so then I need, okay, now how do I live that out? You say, well, Ben, this is confusing. I don't know the Bible that much. Don't worry. Here's the simple part. Here's a very, very simple step. Just obey what you already know. Just obey what you already know. Don't worry about what you don't know. You'll learn through growth groups and through messages on the weekend more. Just obey what you already know and just say, God, I'm going to be in that habit of saying yes to you. We're doing our baptism service next weekend. By the way, you know, baptism, I'm not asking you to give money or serve anywhere. There's no real benefit in it for the church except that you're taking a spiritual step. And so would really encourage you, if you're an adult and you have not been baptized, is to not put it off. In fact, we read in the book of Acts, there was someone who just said yes to Jesus, and they said, hey, can I be baptized right now? And it's where we identify with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're told to remember that in two ways. Communion, we're going to do that, and also through baptism. Also, by the way, great time to invite friends to church. People who would never go to church will come for your baptism, even though they have no idea what it means. It's just culturally a big deal. And you're saying, God, I'm going to do that just because, is there spiritual benefit? Yeah, but don't even think about that. Just because you said so. And when you get in that habit of just because you said so, that's powerful. That is really powerful. And by the way, as a parent, you know what you're teaching your kids? Way more than you teach them around the dinner table about a little devotional. You're just saying, God said to do it, so I'm going to do it. And so I'm going to identify with Jesus Christ. And you're setting that pattern of obedience in your home. One simple way. Another question is this. Have I developed compassion? Now, among all those things about keeping commitments and living a life that's, free from willful sin, it's interesting that this one would be there. But it is, and it seems to be a constant theme in the scripture. And it's not an either or. I know people who will say, well, I'm all about compassion, not the other stuff. Then you're not all about God. But this is here. Proverbs 29:7 says, the righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. And then Psalm 15:5, in the psalm we're in, it says, the person who honors God is one who lends money to the poor without interest and does not accept bribes against the innocent. Little aside here, this isn't speaking against modern day investments, because if it is, you shouldn't do it. But if you would read the Bible, you'd say, okay, Jesus, when he teaches a parable of the talents, whole other part of the Bible, and he talks about being good stewards with what God has given you, your money. One who had a single talent and didn't do anything with it, he said you should have put it in the bank where it would earn interest. So it's not against that, it's against usury. It's taking advantage of the disadvantaged. That's what it's talking about. And so we need to ask ourselves, you know, how are we with compassion? As a church, we did a little spiritual health checkup, and that's why this year, more of you, we've served more, given more, done more, and not so we will earn God's favor, just because we said, you know, we're really good at people, you know, in Timbuktu across the world, and we're good at helping people in the church come to know Jesus, but in our community, we want to do a little bit better. Didn't feel guilty about it. Just said, God, we understand this is where you're leading, an area that would be growth for us. And our summer service, we're going to actually, I think, show a video next week of just how many of you have served and given. And it's been an incredibly wonderful thing. So do I show compassion? And maybe it's not just for those who have less money or resources. Maybe it's for those who are broken, for those who are hurting, for those who Maybe they even were in a place where they were following God with their whole heart, and now they feel like they can't even walk inside a church or be around other followers of Christ. And you say, you know what? God has not run out of grace for you. He has not run out of grace for you. So a question to ask is, or you write this in. I don't have a fill-in because this is God speaking to you. The growing area of my faith is. What's the growing area of your faith? On the connection card that we'll collect during the offering, if you want a spiritual health assessment, we'll send you an online one. Really helpful if you just write that down there. If you're saying, I'm unsure. See, don't get discouraged with where you're at. Because it's a process. God will save you instantly, but he makes you into his image over a lifetime. It's like a baby. Think about when babies, when they're born. Like the whole process of moving around. They do nothing. They can't even move. They're like a human sprinkler system, aren't they? That's what they do. And then they start to roll, and then they crawl, and then they walk, you know, sort of walk and wobble. And then they run. And you don't say, well, you know what? You're not doing a good job, little four-month-old. It's part of the maturity process. But if they're 16 years old and they're still crawling from place to place, you say, there's a problem. You say, okay, here's how the Apostle Paul put it. This is in the Bible, not in your outline. I think we may have this up on screen. Philippians 3:12 and following, it says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or I've reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. Will you pray with me? God, I would pray for each and every one of us as we have done a bit of an inventory today. As we've not looked at everything, but as we've looked at how you would represent a life that would honor you in Psalm 15. God, we thank you for that instruction and we take it seriously. And God, we're not going to explain away why we would have a difficulty, but we're going to just say, okay, God, show me how. And God, I would pray for those of us who maybe as we've looked at this, we say, man, it is just hard and overwhelming, and we're reminded of our need for you and our need for grace. And so, God, we ask that you would show us not only a way to live, but the grace to get us there. Lord, there are some of us, and we're here today, and we have been saying to you, wait. And God, we just, if that's you, I just encourage you to change your wait into a yes to God. I can't even tell you what it is. It may be forgiving someone. It may be serving someone. It may be walking next door to a neighbor and showing some compassion and concern. But you'd say, God, I will not lead with a wait. But God, I just want to follow you. And I want to see how life turns out, God, trusting that you would still be with me. And Lord, for some of us, we need to first come to you and say, yes, again today, we need your grace. Not for things that are out of our control, but where we've willfully sort of walked away from you. And we'd say, God, we thank you for that. And we ask once again that you would forgive and heal and restore. We thank you for what you've done, that you gave your one and only son, Jesus, to pay the price for our sin, that we wouldn't even need to try to, that we would just need to say yes to that. And God, you ask that we would do this one thing, that we would remember you. And so that's what we do as we receive communion together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.